Hey.
Hello.
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 La, la, la.
That's exactly how we should open the show tonight.
Every single show. Just like that. Welcome to episode number 3 of WP Late Night. I am joining you, well, it's not really as always because it's only the third episode, but my name is Ryan Immel. And Brad?
Hello! That sounds so better in my head. I'm here.
And normally we'd also be with Dre Armada. He is out this week, so joining us as a guest host is Mr. Jake Goldman from 10 Up, or the owner of Web Dev Studio, or the Web Development Studio 10 Up. Sorry, Jake. How are you doing?
That's our big news this week, right? owner
of Web Dev Studio. Let's not confuse whose company is who's here.
Yeah, well, when you start saying Web Dev, and then it just kind of flows out there. Anyway,
that's the point, my friend.
That's the strategy.
Yeah, Jake Goldman, my biggest competitor in the world, is joining us today.
I kind of feel honored, Jake, to be considered your biggest competitor. It's kind of like validation, right?
You know, I always joke in the WordPress world because, like, you know, technically we are competitors. We both run web development firms that specialize in WordPress, and there's, you know, so does Dre. You know, so it's funny because we all hang out and we're all good friends. And I certainly don't think of anybody, you or Dre or anyone else, as a competitor, because there's way more work to go around than what any one of us could do. It's funny because we literally like pass, you know, client referrals around. We'll be like, hey, I'm busy, but I know this, you know, 10 Up, talk to Jake, or, you know, Dre out there on the West Coast. If you're out there, talk to Dre. So it's an interesting, community. It's one of the reasons I love it so much, because everyone is so friendly. It's not like we're dire competitors and I'm going to trash his name every second I get, you know,
until we're done with this podcast anyways. I agree. I think something that, I mean, certainly if there's anything I think we're all seeing right now is that when it comes to good development teams, there's probably a shortage out there. So I don't think we're not fighting over scraps, at least not yet. But if anybody else tries to get in, stay away.
Yeah, that doesn't mean you should go start a WordPress-specific development firm and compete with either one of us. It just means we're definitely friends, and even though we are technically competitors, I don't think either one of us feel that.
We keep each other honest.
Exactly, and we speak at each other's events.
We do.
So, Brad, you kind of teased us before we got started here. What's your gripe?
I have a gripe. I have a gripe about this show. So we have 2 episodes out there.
Yep.
And you just released the first ever episode of the weekly theme show, right?
Indeed.
Which was good. So I listened to it today, and I started the show, and they had this really cool intro music. You know, like, I was into it. Like, you know, intro's going, I'm into it. Everyone starts talking. Like, I'm loving the show. I play episode 2 of our show, and it's just, welcome to episode 2 of our show. Absolutely no intro music. My head's not bobbing. I'm like, what's going on, man?
Oh, so you're missing the bob. Yeah. I mean, We need our own music, though, right?
We do need our own music. I don't know if anyone out there can help us, point us in the right direction. It'd probably be best if it's, Creative Commons or open sourced or whatever it is in the music industry where we're allowed to use it for free.
I don't know. I think we could use some publicity from a big rights scandal.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's just throw it out there.
Let's put our Ducks theme in there, then, and we can do, you know, party rock all night.
Well, I mean, it did wrap with that. That was the closing.
I did like the closing. Yeah. I will give you props there.
Okay. I'll work more on the...
I was expecting a little intro music, and
I was
a little disappointed.
So we do have, it's also worth mentioning, this is kind of a revamped stream page as opposed to last time. We are running an IRC chat room rather than... the live stream chat, which was just awful, and it only took us 2 episodes for me to get completely tired of that. So it's now a free node room, WP Candy, and of course wpcandy.com/stream for the new audio feed, which you can drop into iTunes or whatever else and listen to wherever. So it's pretty cool. In any case, what have you guys been up to this week? What's new, as they say?
Wait, you want me to tell my biggest competitor what I'm up to?
Yep.
Please. Absolutely.
You guys are here to clash. That's what we're doing here.
That's the only reason I'm here. What are you talking about?
Yeah, this is Intel gathering. They make something up now. No, I think we're working on a lot of interesting and exciting projects that are early on. I know we're in kind of a crazy quarter. I know that some behind the, you know, putting aside sort of client work, I'm trying desperately. I somehow got, somehow found myself in the position of premiering two new talks at between Miami and Phoenix over the next 2 weekends. And I am now confronted with the sudden panic of having two completely new talks to write with 2 days till one and then only a week to the other.
Everybody's talking about Miami this week. And I see David Bissett, who's usually tweeting WordPress stuff all the time. He seems completely overwhelmed with planning, which I laugh at. It's terrible. He's obviously busy. But I will also be at, I won't be there this weekend, but I'll be at Phoenix next week. So I'll probably see you there.
All right. I'll have to, buy you a Phoenix based beer or something.
Absolutely.
You know, WordCamp Miami is one of the, I've never been, but it's one of those WordCamps that I've known a lot of people that have gone, and I always hear really, really good things. Like, it's one of those WordCamps that's definitely on my list that I want to make one of these years.
Northeasterners, come on. You can't go wrong with, wrong with Florida and Miami in February.
This is the time of year to go south, to head, you know, southwest, to head to west even. Like, really, pretty much, I mean, Jake, you're obviously a little further north. You're up in, what, Rhode Island?
I am.
And I'm in Philly, so we're, you know, the weather right about now, while it could be worse, it's definitely not the best. So this is definitely the time of year to find a nice, warm WordCamp.
It's a business-deductible vacation to Florida.
And am I the only one that thinks, like, I have to believe that going to, like, a dance club in Miami has to be the best thing ever, because there's so many good songs that have to do with Miami out there.
So you think that the playlists are entirely made up of
just
songs
Miami,
that
talking
Miami?
About the town that they're in? Absolutely, wouldn't you do that?
Isn't that kind of like wearing the band shirt to the performance? Like isn't that a little bit? Okay.
Right. Count the number of WordPress shirts at a WordCamp.
That's true.
Not that I'm saying WordCamp attendees actually would go to dance clubs, but you know, I've seen dance you know. Floors break out at WordCamp after parties. So
even dance clubs need easy to manage websites, right?
That's right.
Oh, we forgot to say what's everybody drinking, Brad? What are you drinking?
I am drinking a Ryan Duff. However, I'm drinking a Ryan Duff light. So it's basically a cup full of rum with a splash of Diet Coke for health.
Now, Jake, I don't know if we initiated.
I had no idea there was a competition. I've got a cup of water on my desk, but there's no video. I should make something up. I'm drinking scotch.
There you go.
Well, there you go. Nice.
Lie to us. I am drinking a rum and coke out of a Batman mug, which is probably the coolest thing I've done today. It's true. It's sadly true.
Out of it's an actual like coffee mug.
Yes, it is. It's cool. It fits a lot of stuff in it, which I like.
Next time I'll be prepared. I'll have Superman. Yes.
That's good stuff. Good stuff. I'm actually preparing for, and I know it's a couple months out, but WordCamp San Diego is going to be my next WordCamp. I think we talked about it a little bit on the last show. They actually just opened up tickets today, I believe. And I believe they're going to be sold out by tomorrow because I went on there and bought two tickets before this show and they were down to 40 tickets.
Which was this?
WordCamp San Diego.
Wow.
Yeah, which is towards the end of March.
Might sell out before the end of our show.
Yeah, and you know what? Last year they had the exact same problem. They sold out, I think, in less than a day. And we talked to Dre about it because he's one of the organizers on the last show. And he said, I think they're going to have about 100 more tickets this year. But apparently that's not even enough. So WordPress is just fire hot in San Diego, and they're going to need to really, you know, find a much bigger venue, it sounds like.
It's a good problem to have, right?
Oh, it's a great problem to have, and I'm looking forward to it because I love going out to the West Coast. I love California. Obviously, you know, being on the East Coast, it's an expensive trip. So I always go to WordCamp San Francisco. If you're in the industry, that's kind of a must. And then I try to do one other West Coast WordCamp throughout the year. So this year I made it a point to do San Diego. I've never done it, but I heard great things about last year, and you know, Dre obviously organizes it. So, you know, I have, you know, extreme confidence that it's going to be a great show. So I'm really looking forward to it.
I need to make plans for that.
Well, you better get a ticket.
I better hurry.
You might want to start buying it while we're talking.
If you hear me go quiet on the stream for a few minutes, it's going to be because I'm ordering my ticket. So
I have to check it out myself. I know I tend to do WordCamps in fits and starts, but I have to be in LA at the end of March anyway, so maybe there's a tie in there.
Nice.
There you go. I'll actually be up in LA for a day or two just to visit. I got some family up there, and Love California. Love to visit. So.
So Brad, we were kind of breaking our rules talking a little bit before the show got started, but you mentioned you're kind of toying around with the new WordPress default theme, or at least looking at it.
Yes, 2012. So they made the initial commit for 2012, which they're calling version 0.5, was committed, February 6th. So, you know, just over a week ago. And after I saw that post go up, I updated, you know, SVN up, pulled down Trunk, installed 2012 and took a look. And it's, you know, there's not a whole lot to look at quite yet. It's basically, I mean, it's obvious that they're putting the groundwork in place for a nice solid framework on a theme. It looks nice. It's very clean. It's laid out nicely, but there's not a lot of bells and whistles yet, which, you know, anybody that knows theme creating process knows usually the bells and whistles come last. You know, you want to have a nice foundation to work off of. You don't want to start with the flashy, you know, scrollers or whatever. And I certainly don't expect this one to have a scroller, but who knows? Mm-hmm. But it looks like a good foundation. I haven't gone through all the source code to look at it yet, but you know, from the front end, from clicking around, I mean, it looks like they're laying the good groundwork. So I'm really anxious to see that next big commit that actually, you know, puts on that kind of bells and whistles layer to see what direction they're going. Because I've looked in track. I've kind of been following it. I haven't seen any screenshots. So I don't know if they're working off a mock-up, if they did a mock-up. If they did, they didn't make it public, or maybe I just didn't see it. Have you guys seen any type of mock-up around that?
No.
Not yet, no.
I will say, and having just briefly clicked around it too, and you're right, there's not much on the front end, but one thing I do like just looking briefly in the source code folder, other than the fact that it appears to be internationalized, of course, one thing that I do like is it seems to be, unless they start really bloating this thing out, it seems to be an unlike what 2010 has become, unlike what 2011 is, a very clean theme folder. I mean, the way that they seem to be organizing the files and the template files, to me, makes this one a lot more approachable for people to start and learn off of, you know, somebody that teaches WordPress occasionally than 2011, which I don't know if you ever open up, you know, if how many people here have actually used the 2011 theme, but if you actually open up that theme folder, I find it's a lot harder to explain to people some of those template files. And some of the organization of 2011. So I'm hoping they keep 2012 sort of leaner as a more teachable theme.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm a bigger fan of 2010 than I am 11. I don't know why. I think it's more because I've used 2010 a little bit more. Obviously, it is. If you open it up, it can be a little intimidating because they have not only the basic theme files, but then they have the kind of the include the template parts that they pull in. Which if you're not used to building a theme, you know, can be a little confusing until you kind of wrap your head around it. Versus just seeing like an index and that's it, like index loads index. It'll be interesting to see if this is built as something that they expect people to build off of as a replacement for 2010 or 2011, or if this is built as something completely separate that's really going to kind of showcase what WordPress can do. I don't know. I mean, there's been a lot of speculation. It's kind of hard to say until it goes up there.
I would think that of all the types of themes to build, a default WordPress theme that will be used by so many different people would be so much more difficult to do than a theme more specific to a certain use case, right? Because, I mean...
They certainly made all the sort of default themes that we've seen over the last few years very generic in their use. I think the struggle is, in one sense, they're trying to show off in the default themes what's new in WordPress in the current year, all the potential of WordPress. Certainly, I think one of the things they tried to do with 2010 was make it extremely granular with all the loop files, that if you wanted to make child themes, you could do so and change very micro parts of it. But I think one of the things we lost when that happened was that ability to have sort of a lean theme that can be sort of that learner theme. I mean, I teach plugin and theme development regularly. It's almost 2010 and to a lesser extent 2011 are almost unusable at this point without people getting lost. At least I find that. I think the introduction of all the loop files and the get template parts, if you just want to show somebody what a clean, you know, say blog index looks like, heads start spinning.
I think we brought this up maybe on the first episode, but it's worth bringing up again. What do you guys use as either starter themes, or do you have your own, or what do you use when you start a project? Brad, you go first.
Jake. You know, we use a lot of different frameworks. I would say we're probably more times than not, we end up using Genesis, as kind of our framework, and then we'll build a child team around that. Mainly because our designers are very, very familiar with it and they like it. And I mean, it's a good framework. Like it's solid. It's very easy to work with. It's very easy to extend. If you're not a coder, it may not be what you're looking for, because there's certainly a lot of code involved with it. A lot of hooks, a lot of filters. If those words kind of scare you a little bit and you're looking for more of a point and click solution, then Genesis, you know, isn't really for you. But in our case, it is, because we like working with code. So, Genesis, we use a lot. We've done a lot with 2010 too. I mean, we built a lot of sites, and we'll just build a child theme for 2010, you know, and release it. And that works great too. It's, you know, it's a very nice framework. It's a very basic framework, but it's easy to extend and make child themes on. So I would say those two. We've done some work with Headway. We've done some work with, you know, iThemes. But generally, 2010 or Genesis are kind of our defaults, I would say, at this point.
Yeah. I mean, so we've worked with a lot of different platforms. I would say probably 90%, 95% of the projects we do. I'm not a big believer in building themes on top of frameworks or on top of other themes. Overwhelmingly, the themes we build, I like to say we build from scratch. We don't use sort of a starter theme as a framework. We start with the HTML CSS cut, and then we make a single sort of like index.php that has everything and start ripping parts out. And, I think I think individual members of our team, our shop, each probably have a little bit of their own individual approach. But generally speaking, we really do try to start from scratch when we build things. We don't work off of a baseline.
I think Jake just 10-upped me there. Is that is that accurate?
No, I honestly don't think one way or the other.
You can see the appeal to both. Did you guys look at the new automatic starter theme underscores? I don't know if you guys checked that out. That's just in the past day or two, I think.
A little bit. I haven't had time to go through the source, but I read, I think you guys had it. Well, I know you did. You had a blog post. In fact, it's the most recent post, I think, on the site.
Indeed.
About it. So check out wpcandy.com. Okay. I like the idea. I mean, I haven't had a chance to go through the code to see exactly how they're setting this up and what it looks like and what it actually does. But just reading kind of the description of what they're trying to do, I like it, and I like the fact that they obviously released it, open sourced it, which, you know, is in true automatic fashion, so we kind of expect nothing less. You know, so it'll be interesting to see how it evolves, because honestly, having a very solid starter theme that you're comfortable with, whether it's a framework, whether it's just a base theme, whatever it is, you know, getting comfortable with the theme and knowing it's not something that's necessarily going to go away, you know, something you're comfortable is going to be around for a little while is nice. So, and obviously if automatic is going to release something like this, you can be pretty much guaranteed they're going to support it for quite a while.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's, I don't really have much to add to that. I always think it's interesting. I mean, I like the fact that they're clearly trying to do it the HTML5 way, and it's a good example of how to build a theme, some of those newer practices. You know, I personally always find it a little bit awkward, even with a good starter theme like this one, to sort of pipe a design into it. But it's nice to see something coming from the quote unquote big guys.
And you know what might even be a more interesting story? Well, maybe not more interesting, but an interesting story that kind of relates to this is the fact that they released it on Git. You know, and this isn't actually one of the topics we were going to talk about, but have you guys noticed that a lot of WordPress developers, including Automatic, have started kind of migrating over to Git from the traditional SVN, which is, you know, what pretty much all of WordPress is set up on now?
Yeah, I love seeing that personally. I really enjoy using Git, using GitHub.
Were you big into SVN, or was Git kind of your first?
I mean, no. I've good link I just saw come through. I've certainly used Subversion in the past, but usually my extent to working with it was really only to update WordPress, you know, Git nightlies and stuff like that. Whereas I really like the social aspect of GitHub and kind of how all of that works. It's I don't know. I find it much more user-friendly, and it makes it easier for me to get involved in projects that way. That's just me.
Yeah. Do you, Jake, do you guys, are you SVN, Git? Do you do some other system?
So we mostly, I mean, most of the work we do is really Subversion at this point. I mean, we do, and mostly like the project type development, we're using Beanstalk, which can do either one, but we tend to use the SVN. That's simply because, I'll confess, it's simply because I had to learn SVN at some point, and I know it, and I'm too busy keeping up with WordPress to keep up with the latest version control tools. I know a couple of our clients that we that have internal developers that we've worked with have looked closely at like GitHub and Git, and have been intrigued by going with it. So I feel like it's a destination I'm going to get to eventually, but I haven't taken the time to take out the guidebook, I guess.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. I mean, we do, I would say 90% on SVN, Beanstalk as well. Love that service.
Yeah.
And mainly because, you know, that's what WordPress is mm-hmm. set up on, you know, WordPress.org, the plugin repository yep. themes, you know, the downloading WordPress itself.
Yep.
It's all SVN. So I was like, it makes sense to be in line with what our company is, you know, 100% behind, which is WordPress. We have had a few clients that use Git. So we've had to use that, and it's a nice platform to use. So I can certainly see why people use it. I just don't know if I really want the headache, you know, between working with Git and then on occasion going back to SVN. You know, I guess, you know, it really depends on your setup and how you do things. The reason I bring it up, Alex King actually wrote a great blog post. Alex King, pretty famous plugin developer, core contributor. Runs Crowd Favorite, another WordPress development shop out in Colorado. He wrote a blog post where they actually migrated all of Crowd Favorite from SVN to Git. And he kind of explains the reasoning behind it, the thought process, and then how they ended up setting up Git for their new projects. It's a pretty cool read, so you know, check out alexking.org.
I read the article. Did he make a... I know he said he did it. Did he really have a good rationale other than he liked it better?
It was mainly around branches, and it's not insanely detailed on the reasoning. It was mainly just about, he says, the main reason for the change is to be able to support a branch-driven development workflow using GitFlow, you know, versus SVN. Obviously, branches and merges in SVN are a little bit, I would say, a little more tricky versus the Git merges. And again, I'm not a Git expert, so don't quote me on this stuff, but... I have used it before, so that's his reasoning. I've seen a similar articles. I know Mark Jaquith wrote a great post a while back about how to work with Git if you're going to work with plugins and things like that, kind of how to switch between the two, I believe it was. And this was probably, I don't know, 6 or 8
months. Yeah, I remember that.
So you had to dig that up. But it seems like a lot of people are kind of going that direction. So I just wonder if the clock is ticking on when they pull the trigger on migrating WordPress in that direction. Obviously, there's a lot of systems that would be affected. I mean, you're talking WordPress.org, plugin repo, theme repo, track.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
sum it up, everything.
Except underscores.
That's why I don't see it happening anytime soon, because, I mean, the amount of work that would go into that, it would take months, if not a year or two.
Yeah, I mean, it clearly does branches better. I mean, I think I'll be a little bit contrarian against our types and say that sometimes I think as techies and developers, we can jump on the what's the coolest bandwagon when something mm-hmm. like SVN just works fine. Might not be that there's something to be said that it's not the coolest and the latest and the greatest for something that works well, that you know well. And I think there tends to be a lot of, I guess, momentum against making huge switches like that. But maybe, you know, maybe if I forced myself to try and use GitHub and fully wrap my head around it for a few weeks, I'd be of our type and become a believer.
I mean, the one major upside, if things were on Git, and this is a hypothetical world where everything was just easily moved over in a day, I do see a lot of activity from. I just see a lot more activity on WordPress projects that are on Git, whether plugins or themes or projects, whatever's running there, that it might get more people involved in contributing to WordPress core if it was on Git. I mean, that's a nebulous sort of idea, I guess, as far as an argument towards moving to Git. But, you know, I think it could be a pretty strong one, really. I think there's a lot of people out there that would see a lot of appeal in switching over to Git. But it's, you know, realistically, it might just be unreasonable to think it would ever happen. I'm not counting on it.
Yeah, I just quickly pulled the chat room, which we're now on. I don't know if you mentioned or not, Ryan. We're now on.
I did.
You did. IRC Freenode WP Candy channel. Who's using Git and who's using SVN? And the majority of people are actually using Git. So maybe I'm falling behind the times, but I have no plans to switch to Git fully until WordPress switches. I just don't want to deal with that hassle of we do everything in one version control and WordPress uses something different, you know? So.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing Alex King talk more about not even so much the transition process, but you know, 6 months from now, 12 months from now, what they feel about the switch and what it's
like. Yeah, looking back, and I'd love to see if maybe he is going to give this presentation at a WordCamp on why and exactly if it's 6 months down the road, you know, what they've learned since you know switching, because this blog post just went up one day ago, so. They may be hating themselves right now. Who knows? You know, it's like we need to give it a little time and actually look back and see did it improve their development? Did it speed up things? Did it not? You know, who knows?
I think at the end of the day, both there's some benefits to get. You can get over the learning curve. Both accomplish the same task.
It's a good way to sum it up. One thing, just looking down our topics list here, and while we're talking about kind of questioning some of the ways that the WordPress does things or looking at alternatives. Did you guys see the big update or the creation, I should say, of the BuddyPress codecs in the last week?
Yes.
How much you guys use BuddyPress in your projects, but it's pretty cool how it's run because it's not using any sort of wiki or codec software. It's just using WordPress and you jump in and edit pages, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I know John was James Jacoby was put it together and also put BuddyPress together. Of course, I was excited to see that. I always find it a little bit, I don't know if embarrassing is the right word, but awkward that we're not using our own, we're not sort of eating our own dog food with things like the codecs.
Is the WordPress.org codex, is that MediaWiki? I can't remember exactly.
I want to say so. Yeah,
I think it is. Yeah.
It's not WordPress. I think it's MediaWiki. If not, it's something similar. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, this is the first time that I can remember somebody using sort of pages and editor roles on a codex like this. I thought the implementation was really slick. And the BuddyPress activities component, I think, to display various edits that people make. I thought it was overall really, really cool.
Yeah, I mean, it looks great. I mean, I really like seeing more separation between BuddyPress development and WordPress because anyone who's worked with BuddyPress knows there's a lot of differences. And when BuddyPress launched, pretty much everything was just kind of rolled into WordPress.org. You know, plugins are over there. You know, all the documentation stuff were still on BuddyPress.org, but I don't think there was any kind of a wiki set up. So it was always very limited, and most of the support you get was in the forums, which, you know, anyone who's worked in forums knows it's a good resource, but it's not
necessary. I mean, documentation's definitely been something that's been sorely missed in terms of a central place to go. I mean, I think one of the things you could argue that has made WordPress thrive that a lot of other communities point to is, you know, how even though as Brad, maybe you and I and some others as very sophisticated developers sometimes get frustrated with the codecs, I think for people starting out in WordPress and people trying to wrap their heads around development, it's an unbelievable resource. I know it was my go-to place when I was first learning WordPress.
It's still, you know, as much slack as or flack, I should say, as the codecs gets, it's still a good resource. Like, it's still the first place I go. And then but, disclaimer, always take it with a grain of salt. You know, whatever you read, don't believe it as the gospel. Like, if you're not certain or it doesn't do something you want, go look in the core and actually look at the function, and see. Because chances are, if the function was made in 2.6 and it hasn't changed since then, if you go look in core, I wouldn't be surprised if there's been a new parameter added that hasn't been added to that codex article.
I think
might even do what you want, you know?
So, I mean, my gripe with the codex is less that it's out of date, more that it's, if you don't know how to look in core, it's highly incomplete. But I mean, either way, I think the main point here is that as a resource for getting started, it's invaluable in helping new developers come on board and wrap their heads around. It's been something sorely missing with BuddyPress. I would go so far as to say, I think this could actually be a turning point in terms of having people really dig deeper into BuddyPress and be able to get in and do more things with it. You know, part of BuddyPress is growing up, let's call it.
Speaking of it growing up, I think in the last week it crossed 900,000 downloads, which is it's not so much a big number milestone, but that's a lot of downloads. So
it is. I mean, it's powerful, and the nice thing is it's gotten much more stable. It's the early versions of BuddyPress were frustrating because if you go in there and you actually learn it and you start working with it, and then the next version would change, like significantly change how things work. That happened a few times.
Well, it's really only been, I think, in a meaningful way. Maybe I'm not mistaken here, but I think it's only really been the last year and a half that I feel like significant resources have really been dedicated to it. It really started off as more of a hobby project, and as much as I love all of the developers that work on it, I have my own objections to the way it tends to do some things, which were more a reflection on where WordPress was when it started than how BuddyPress chose to grow itself up.
There were a little time there when I was concerned because it kind of stalled. Andy Peetling, who was the original developer of it, had kind of moved on to WordPress.com projects. And there wasn't a lot of activity, and it was a little concerning because it has so much potential and we use it a lot. I mean, we do a lot of BuddyPress work. And I was concerned if this thing stalled and died out, what would we do with these sites? What would we do with future people looking to do things like this? Building a social network from scratch is just
come on, Brad, it's GPL.
Yeah, well, that's true. We could fork it and call it BradPress, but
yeah.
I'm excited to see it. I mean, they got some
BuddyPress. Bradford Press.
God.
Bradford Press. I don't know. But, having John on it, Triple J, he's amazing. He's a great guy. I always love hanging out with him at WordCamps. They got Boone in it now, who is absolutely amazing. A really great guy as well. I mean, they just have some really, really talented individuals working on it now as core committers, which kind of lit a fire under it and finally got 1.5 out the door. And now they're rolling ahead and pushing out new features all the time, which is great. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll see BuddyPress start growing up more quickly. I mean, my suspicion, I don't think WordPress became sort of a more, sort of took off until it, obviously went through several iterations. I like to think it grew up around the 2.6, 2.7 time. And I think we'll probably see something similar with BuddyPress. I know, Brad, you're doing a lot of really interesting projects with it. I like the product, but I still feel like it has a lot of maturing to do still.
Yeah, it does. And every update is, everyone's very comfortable updating WordPress now. You don't hold your breath quite as much as you did a year or two ago. BuddyPress, you still kind of hold your breath. You're still kind of like, I hope this works. You have your backups and you hit the button and generally it works. But you definitely still hold your breath a little bit more than when you're updating WordPress.
You're right. It's that. It's also, I think, every time I open up, the database when I install BuddyPress, I have to admit I have to squirm a little bit.
Yes, and I have talked with Boone and John, and they both assure me that converting BuddyPress into custom post types and taxonomies is on the roadmap, and they're working on it. So that's a big one because, until it gets to that point, it excludes itself from a lot of things like WordPress VIP. Jake, you do a lot with that. We do some work with that.
Yep.
It's absolutely not even a possibility until it becomes, until it does not create its own custom tables.
Or at least less of a nightmare for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I think BB Press has gotten there with 2.0, and I think I'm excited to see BuddyPress get to that point. And it's also, I think once it does that, it's less learning a completely separate tool as it is learning a tool that extends WordPress in the ways that it was more intended to be extended.
Oh yeah. Anything working with custom post types is you immediately know, all right, I know how to work with this.
Exactly. BuddyPress, you kind of install it and you say, well, can I do this with the activity stream?
Yeah. BBPress 2.0, that update was huge for that project. That's
really huge.
That switched from being something I dreaded using to something I've, no hesitation using.
Absolutely.
And like you guys are saying, we have not quite yet seen that in the BuddyPress project, but
it's a bigger,
much bigger.
Yeah.
It's a monster. Yeah. I mean, it's going to take some time, but I truly believe that they will get there. So
absolutely. And it's worth mentioning that the BBPress codex is seeing some work too, but it's not quite as extensive as the BuddyPress codex from what I can tell. So I think that this interested me this week, and it kind of fits in with some of the work that's going on in this cycle, the 3.4 development cycle for WordPress core, one of the teams, I believe, is Team Gandalf, working on making, in general, making it easier to make your sites look exactly the way you want them to. And there's lots of things involved in that process. But Obox Themes this week talked about one change they're making to some of their themes to try to make that the setup process easier. And they kind of commented on how complex themes can be more difficult to set up than others. And one of their attempts to simplify the process is to color code their themes widgets. I don't know if you guys saw the screenshot that they posted of what they're doing there, but it's, you know, I mean, to be honest, I'm my initial reaction is not positive to it, to the idea, but I'm curious what kind of things do you guys do to make complex theme setup processes easier?
You know, I like the idea. I don't, kind of reading their reasoning behind it doesn't make a lot of sense, because they basically say, well, now you can put the blue widget in the blue box, but if you look at the screenshot, there's no sidebar that is blue. You know what I mean? Like, the widget's blue that you can drag into your sidebar, but no sidebar is specifically blue that I would drag it into.
I'm glad I'm not the only one that looked at this and didn't get it.
Yeah, I mean, I like it's color-coded, which can kind of maybe help you logically put things together. Like they said, they, you know, so they have WooCommerce, which are all green. Right. And then their theme is like orange and purple, but I don't understand why is there orange and purple. Oh, and blue. I like the fact that maybe as a plugin, if I activate all the widgets my plugin made can be a distinct color that user knows. You know what I mean? So if my plugin adds five widgets, those five widgets will be, you know, blue. If I state that in my plugin, I can tell them on the settings page the blue widgets are my plugin or my widgets.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not a logical convention, I think, for people, unless they're sort of told that. I mean, you should be able to, I mean, I think WordPress work, right, whereas you can kind of look at it, and if you're a little bit savvy, you can get it without, you know, needing to read a manual. I think Ryan, you're intrigued by it because I think they correctly identify a problem, but I don't think they've identified the solution, right? The problem is widgets, right? I mean, let's call it widgetized areas, right? Widget spaces, whether it's a sidebar or a footer. It's like we have these areas in WordPress. We put this dynamic content, right? Because it's really the way WordPress gives us to sort of drag and drop and, you know, set up, you know, modules or, again, I guess the word is widgets. The challenge is, you know, what do you call that? When I tell a new client, when I try to explain to a new client what a widget is, I mean, if you erase your WordPress knowledge and you say, here's a space full of widgets. Is that an intuitive thing? I don't think so. I don't think when I'm trying to explain footer widgets versus sidebar widgets that it's intuitive. I mean, there's clearly a need for this notion of having these little spaces where you put buckets of functionality in, but I don't know that as we start to see more and more widgetized areas and people want to tackle things like having main parts of the homepage have widgets, I think something's falling down here clearly in the process. But I don't know if it's just color coding based on whose plugin it is.
You want to know what the solution is? I have the solution. And
what's the solution?
And if you're listening, this is the million-dollar solution to this problem.
Man, everybody, hush.
And if every theme company doesn't listen to the solution, then that's your own fault. So, and I've actually said this a few times out there. So the biggest gripe when you buy a premium theme or you download a free theme, whatever it is, they have all these beautiful screenshots, right? They show the content, and you're like, oh, that looks awesome. That's exactly what I want. You activate the theme, and you go to the homepage, and it's a broken mess because there's
no
widgets.
It's like deflated.
Yeah, there's no widgets. Yeah. There's no content. Like, you know, there's no featured images. There's nothing. And it looks horrible. And you spend so much time trying to almost just replicate what they showed you on the demo site just so you can get to that point and then put in your content. Every theme out there should come with a click this button to install dummy content specific to this theme, not just random dummy content, specific to this theme. And then that theme should configure everything to match the demo site exactly. All dummy content, all dummy pictures, whatever, because users love to go in and say, all right, I see on my homepage, this is the title. I see in my admin, you know, this is the post that has that title. I can go in here and change the title name. I can change the picture, and I understand that. That's exactly what they should do.
There's two problems there, right? I think you're onto something. I mean, I think there's an issue of, you know, where do these images come from, right? The problem's even worse in some ways, right? If you're switching themes, because, you know, if you're on local WordPress, it doesn't any images you uploaded before aren't going to be natively scaled to the size, you know, the image sizes made for that theme. But I think, you know, maybe a different problem there is having like being able to establish a default widget setup, right? A default sort of template, which you can fake using some hooks and stuff, but the ability to turn on a theme and say, if no widgets are pre-configured, these are the 5 widgets we want to put in this area, and these are the 3 widgets we want to put in this area. Seems like something that should be better than a hacky hook.
Yeah, I mean, just something to kind of, because you got to remember, most people that I would love to see stats on this, but you know, we don't sell premium themes, but on the premium theme market, or even maybe the free themes, like what percentage are like extremely novice users versus, you know, more experienced users? And I would bet the majority are very novice users. They don't even necessarily understand how WordPress works fully. You know, they just know WordPress. Everyone tells them it's easy, and it's one click setup on most hosts. So they install it and they buy a theme. I can't tell you how many people have come to us after they bought a $50 or an $80 theme and they have no idea what they're doing. And they bought the theme. They already spent $80 and they don't know what they're doing. You know, it's like, I think all the flash of these sites, they see the demo picture like, oh, that's exactly what I want. It looks so easy. And then they install it. And even though it's all, most of it's point and click on some of these things, it's still way over their head.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I mean, we're used to the product and tend to work with people that know the product so well that we just assume it's so easy. But
right,
especially when you have all these pages full of appearance settings, it really isn't, right? You know, it's not plug and play.
No. We talked about this on the first show where I was, when I first got into WordPress, and this is 5 years ago or so. I actually had to search how to find the login page because I didn't know to go to WP admin or to go to wplogin.php. I didn't know that. And then trying to search Google, how do I log into WordPress? You get some, you know, results all over the place. Nobody is like, oh, this is how you log into WordPress. That's too basic. But I had no idea how to do that. It took me like probably half an hour to figure out how to go to WP admin just to find the login screen.
You've come a long way.
Like I have. I like to think so. But it's like you said, Jake, we certainly take that for granted. Like, oh, WP admin or wplogin.php, and you're there, you know? But a lot of the new users, they don't know that. So unless that meta widget is on their theme, they're lost. They have no idea how to log in at that point.
One thing I think that can be done, too, on top of making it really easy to recreate the demo and kind of sticking in that default stuff, is just making these themes look good by default, not requiring any work at all. I mean, I think this is one thing that the WordPress.com theme team does a really good job of with their 180 some themes and how many million really, really basic users who, you know, have those same kinds of questions. How do I log in? Who are able to switch themes and have next to no support issues with that process. And I think that is relatively unheard of in a lot of the commercial theme space.
I'm not sure. I know Automattic and WordPress.com put a great deal of actually time and energy and cost into support. So I don't know that it's even there. It's totally obvious, but I think you're right. I think that a lot of the commercial themes don't hold themselves to the same standard that WordPress.com does.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, clearly the whole turning on a theme, switching themes, moving between themes, whole process of anything but my theme is installed and I'll go, is probably fairly identified as something that we need to do better.
Well, and then 3.3 helped that a little bit. They now say widgets specific to the theme. So if you set up, you know, 50 widgets or whatever, and you switch themes and then you switch back, you don't lose those. They're all still there. I never actually saw what they decided on the expiration of those widgets. Do either one of you guys know that?
I do not.
I never, they were debating, should it be a week, a month, forever, and I never actually saw where they landed on that. So I'm curious how long that actually stays, or if it just stays forever. I don't know.
There might be a couple people in the chat room that can answer that for us in a second.
Anybody know? Ryan will buy you a beer.
What? find me at a WordCamp. Odds are I will.
I don't know the answer. My bet would be that it's probably infinite. I don't think there's, I'd be surprised if there's some sort of scheduled event or transient to do it.
I would think it's probably, I would bet they probably land on that too. And if not, there would definitely need to be some kind of a notice to say, hey, this stuff is going to be wiped out tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. It's probably there forever, but we'll have to find out the exact answer to that. So, Brad, I know you dug up, you were able to before the show dig up some impromptu mailbag questions on Twitter.
I do.
You want to dig into those?
I have a mailbag question. And if anybody's in the chat room that has a question, we would love to hear from you, so let us know. But yeah, I have one from Ryan Duff, who's a longtime listener, first time caller.
Go ahead, caller.
Well, he said a couple things, actually. He said, considering most things are speculation, will you be drinking a Ryan Duff tonight? Which I am, so that is true. And he also asked, will the WP Swag Store ever return? And I pulled it up, and I don't know if, Ryan, if you're specifically talking about WPSwagStore.com or if you mean the actual store, because the store is there. Now, it's very limited on what you can get. But if you go to WordPress.org, you can see a WordPress swag link right on the homepage, which takes you to the swag store as it stands, which they only have
six items. What he might be referring to, and now it's running off of Hello Merch, because I think this had to do partially with what happened at Pier 38 at Automatic's old headquarters when they were kind of moved out of there. That was sort of their base of distribution for a lot of the products, and not having that, they had to find a solution to sell and distribute all these products, and Hello Merch was a good option for that. So right now, WP Swag Store just kind of forwards over to that site. Maybe he's referring to like the .com proper versus the
Hello Merch. Yeah, I don't know. He's not responding in our chat room, Mr. Duff. But you know, it's funny because they relaunched a store right around the beginning of December. And one of the big items they were selling is
ornaments.
WordPress ornaments, which they still have on there. You can get $10 a piece.
Well, you got to have some February ornaments, right?
They look nice. But I think the bigger story, which I'm sure you guys probably both heard, is that the store is actually running on Joomla.
Indeed.
Which, you know, maybe it's just me, but it feels
like... The Buddy Press swag store is going to run on WordPress, I hear.
Well, I hope. Buddy Press and BB Press swag store.
Yeah.
It's just feels like a little bit of a slap in the face. And there was no official announcement of why they chose this, but I saw some tweets.
It's just Hello Merch, right?
It just happens to be what they're running on Hello Merch.
Right. But why, I guess my question is, why not just, you know, why not use one of the WordPress e-commerce plugins? Somebody tweeted, and I can't remember who it was, somebody Automatic or within WordPress, tweeted that the reason was they didn't want to go with a paid e-commerce solution, which would rule out a plugin like Shop, because Shop is paid. I think it's $40 or $50. The only free one that WooCommerce now is free, and I believe, and WP eCommerce are both free. Is that right?
Yeah, but if you actually want anybody to buy anything, in many cases.
Yeah, obviously they're free, but then you pretty much have to pay for the merchant account add-on, which gives you credit card stuff, which you pretty much want. It just seems odd that they wouldn't. Even if they had to pay for it, I'm sure.
I mean, my impression, and I'm remembering stuff mostly from side conversations with Grapevine, but my impression was that it was they just didn't want to manage it. They just didn't want to deal with some of the headaches of getting a WordPress site set up and managing it. And there's something to be said, like WordPress.com, right? There's something to be said for something that's set up and you plug a few pictures in and you order a few designs and it's one less thing Automatic has to spend their time on.
That's true.
Right.
That's my understanding.
Doesn't WP Commerce have a hosted solution now where they actually do something very similar?
I don't know.
I believe they do.
It's news to me.
I could be wrong. I thought Get Shopped. I know you can still under getshopped.org download WP Commerce.
Well, which when you guys are setting up stuff, what do you prefer for e-commerce?
Well, I mean, our teams use a lot. We tend to use... I like all these guys with the risk of offending anybody. I do tend to be fond of e-commerce now.
Yeah.
I'll be equally discriminatory and say I think every one of our e-commerce plugins could use improvement. And I think that my...
I'll be equal and say I hate you all.
I think... Yeah, exactly. I think that WooCommerce, my like of it probably primarily has to do with the fact that simply that it's the newest and I think it's the most modern in terms of using WordPress things like custom post types. Whereas things like WP Commerce, I think are, I'll go on the record here and I think are laden down with legacy approaches to some of these things. Although supposedly it's gotten better. I know the saying in the chat room shop, Jonathan Davis is a friend of mine, shop 1.2 supposedly is using custom post types now, so I need to go back and look. But this is a problem in general. I think with a lot of complex plugins, right, you have these, they take a lot of energy to build, and then a better way of doing it in WordPress comes out. And I think there's a lot of reasons that to prefer the ones that are simply the youngest.
Yeah, I mean, we primarily lean towards shop. It's, again, Jonathan Davis, good friend as well. And he's a developer. So they build it from the ground up with developers in mind, which I love. I mean, there's hooks and filters. It's very, it reminds me a lot of Gravity Forms in the way it was built. Almost anything is extendable between, with hooks, actions and filters are set up all over the place. I don't think I've ran into an instance where there wasn't something I needed to do that I couldn't do without just figuring out what hook was there, to tap into that, which is great. And WP Commerce is good too. Now, WP Commerce has been around longer, had a little bit of a messier code base. They've been spending a lot of time over the last few years trying to clean that up, going with custom post types. And it's a solid product too now, in my opinion. So generally we'll go with one of those two.
Yeah, I've used WP Commerce most recently. It's tough because there's definitely an advantage to the younger plugins because they can take advantage of a lot of stuff that older plugins have to have legacy support for.
Right.
That's the stuff that they used to run, and I would think that it would be tempting for them not to just kind of want to, wipe the slate clean and have a new plugin. I'm sure that's a very difficult temptation to resist.
There's definitely things you could do better, but you kind of have that problem of, the 17, the five features that a few people loved, right, don't make the new cut.
Sure. Well, I mean, and this is actually not not specific to WordPress at all, but just like new versions. Have you guys been reading up at all about Basecamp Next and what the 37 Signals guys are doing with that?
What they are willing to tell us, at least?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's fascinating me because it's as far as an approach to upgrading software and kind of saying, well, it's going to be a new product that you can, we're going to maintain classic, but you can switch to Next, but it's going to be very different. It's very bold.
I think it's smart. I mean, I think this is, I admire it if for no other reason than I think, Brad, I'm sure you have this problem too. I think everybody that writes plugins that become popular have this problem, which is you do get stuck in this trap of feeling some level of obligation to people that consumed your product earlier on to keep giving them the functionality and giving them an upgrade path they want. But at some point you just start to feel, laden down. It's sort of, you see this in every space. It's not just web software, right? It's iOS and OS 10, right?
Sure.
What the young, new one that doesn't do, still hasn't matured enough to do, who knows if it ever will, but still hasn't matured enough to do 3/4 of the things its older brother does. What do you do? I'm imagining not to use them as the catch-all for all technical role modeling, but I'm sure Apple has the same problem of how do we reconcile the fact that I think that they probably would love to move to One OS in a few years, but they don't know if they can do that.
Well, that's a problem WordPress has. You have to look at the deprecated, file. Look at all the, they deprecate things, but they never actually remove things, ever.
I mean, WordPress, I think, has been uniquely loyal among web software in trying to maintain sort of infinite backwards compatibility.
Which I think is good to an extent. I mean, and that's one issue that a lot of people have with Drupal because they don't do that. So when a new major release of Drupal comes out, it may or may not work with, generally speaking, you cannot just click a button and upgrade from 5 to 6 or 6 to 7 or 7 to 8,
Nope.
And the plugin or the modules in Drupal's case won't work either because they basically say, if we don't like something, we're just going to rip it out and redo it. And it's, there's no guarantee it's going to work with what you had. And that's a real pain, because clients, consumers, they don't necessarily understand it. They think, oh, a new version I can upgrade. I should.
Well, you're right. There's a reason WordPress is sort of, I think, owned the there is such a thing, consumer CMS market.
Yeah.
I think it is tough. I mean, I think that WordPress has done the right thing, but I think when you get deeper into the mechanics, as probably you and I and a lot of other people listening to this show probably do, that, oh God, what do we do about categories and terms and term meta, right? Mm-hmm. There's these problems, you start bumping up against architectural problems. Then which would be easy to fix if you say screw backwards compatibility. But, you know, we don't. So, anyways, I think we got away from something here. What were we trying?
Basically, what were we talking about?
If you believe it, this all began with Ryan Duff's mailbag question.
We've had a couple nice little spin-offs of the original topic.
Oh, yeah. No, they're, I think we're it's three fun. Or four I mean, rabbit holes in, which is good. I approve.
That's the point, right? So
absolutely. Well, and so that's yes. that is the entirety of our mailbag section, right?
That was it. So you know what? Yeah. I'm putting a plea out there. Will somebody yes. please leave us a voicemail? I can almost promise you, if you leave us a voicemail and it's not profane, well, maybe if it is,
are you kidding me?
Okay, the more profane, the better, and we will air it, and it will be
now,
live.
Now I kind of want to step back. I don't know if this is a challenge we want to lay out there.
Spam us hard.
Yeah. Well,
please leave us a voice. I mean, I would just love to record. You know, have some live people. Maybe in the future episodes, we can splice some live callers in. We have a mm-hmm. very active chat room. We're up to about 20 people in there chatting away. So. It would be fun to kind of slice people in for a quick question, kick them out, and give them an answer, you know.
Let me throw this out there since we brought up voicemails. If you do want to call in, that's 815-322-9756. You can also send
emails.
We'll
be taking your requests all night long.
All night long. Spin in the ones and twos. Yeah. You can send emails to wplatenight@wpcandy.com or just leave a comment on a post and we'll see those too. Or the hashtag. You can use that. Or just @replyoneofus. That usually gets it too.
That probably gets us faster.
Probably, yeah.
Or just drop by Ryan's house. He's always home.
You're welcome. Oh, yeah. You can. I'll get a spare Batman mug full of your alcohol of choice.
No. You need a Robin mug.
Ooh, there we go.
Nobody drinks out of the Batman mug but you.
Fair enough. Okay.
And you're going to do this a little more regularly. Is that right?
I would like to. I my vote is to move this from a bi-weekly show to a weekly show. I think the interest is there in the chat room, people listening live, and I think it will help boost our – I don't know if this is word listenership in the next couple months to do it more often.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it was great to have Jake on tonight. So,
it's fun being here.
It's, you know, Jake and I have quite a bit of history. For those of you out there that maybe don't know, the few of you that have never heard us together, we actually did quite a few shows on WordPress Weekly back with Jeffro, and that has been a few years now, believe it or not, right? I mean,
the torch has passed.
I think the last time we actually were on a podcast together was the 100th episode.
Oh, wow.
In the lobby of WordCamp Chicago, if I remember right.
Yes,
is that right?
That's right. When this was.
We're right. Like plugging our ears and Pat, you know, we had like one cell phone we dialed in just to, you know, say congratulations. But that was even a year or two ago. So, it was great to be back with you, Jake. So hopefully you can come back and join us again on future episodes. And we also want to invite other people. So if you're interested in being on the show, obviously doing a weekly show, it's going to be hard for all of us to make it every week. But if you're interested in joining us, and you know, having a drink or two and talking WordPress, let us know.
Even your fake non-existent water vodka, that's okay too. Whatever.
Just lie to us.
Just lie.
Everybody else lies to us.
Depends on whether it's a video episode, right? Video or audio.
Yep, indeed.
So yeah, this was fun, and you know, definitely shout out to Dre. He's, you know, I think you mentioned he's feeling under the weather, so we're definitely hope that Dre feels better. I know what will make Dre feel better is if WordCamp San Diego sells out by tomorrow. So they're down to, I think they're less than 40 tickets now officially. So I wouldn't be surprised if tomorrow morning they are sold out. So if you have any idea you might want to go, they're only $20. I would pick one up.
Absolutely.
I will be there. Ryan, you will be there.
I don't have a ticket yet, but assuming I can grab one before they're gone, I will be
know,
there.
I might have one, but it's, you know, it's going to cost you.
See, that's what where are all the San Diego scalpers with these tickets, right?
Like, I'll be out there scalping, all right.
Yeah,
I'm staying there for a week, and we're renting an apartment.
Wow!
And so it's going to be fun.
So you guys are moving for a week.
Pretty much, yeah. So whenever I go to California, I try to make it a big deal because I don't get out there as much as I'd like.
Well, I'm looking forward to the event even more now.
It's going to be pretty epic.
Twitter stuff. You can follow me, the site, follow @WPCandy. Follow myself @RyanImmel. follow Brad at Williams BA, and Jake, you are at Jake M Gold, right?
You got it.
Anything else you guys want to plug? Now's the perfect time.
Ten up.
That means you have to plug web dev then.
Trust me, I plug web dev enough for everybody. So
yeah, see, that's why you're sad that we're not doing the video, so you can't have your giant banner behind you for every show.
It's behind me in spirit. Trust me,
I can hear it.
I need a banner.
I need a banner.
I ten upped you both.
All right, thanks. Thanks everybody on the stream. Thank you, Brad and Jake. And we'll do another one next week.
Next week.
Every day I'm shuffling.